Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here, live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we field your legal questions. If you want to give us a call down at the studio, you can call us at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. And if you want to, you can also give us a call at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. Now, I said to Rachel before the show, I said, what are we going to do the show on? And she says, we're going to do it on cannabis law. And I said, I know about as much about cannabis law as I do about field hockey. And she said, well, that doesn't mean I don't know about it. As a matter of fact, as you'll remember, I represent a dispensary here in Santa Rosa. So.
Oh, you do, do you?
Yes. Oh, you represent them. That's right. Okay, so, well, I have represented them in the past.
Yes.
The last thing I would ever, I thought I'd ever have to tell my mother, who has passed away, is that I represent a cannabis dispensary.
Well, I think my mom would be proud.
Yeah, probably. She's a hippie, and anyway, I won't go into that.
And the reason I chose that, and I did choose this topic, and I think the reason why I picked this topic is I think that there's a little confusion out there about what exactly the law is and what's going to get you into trouble and what's not going to get you into trouble. And so I thought we could, you know, kind of clarify a little bit about what's going on. For the most part, I think, you know, as long as you follow the basic rules, you'll be fine. But there are some things that you do need to be aware of. And I think the first thing that I want to clarify right off the bat is that though Proposition 64, which is called the Adult Use of Marijuana Act of 2016, it did pass. It passed in California, it passed in this county. And what it allows you to do is it allows you to possess, transport, or give away to another adult 21 or older under an ounce of just one ounce of marijuana or 8 grams of concentrated cannabis. So it allows you to possess it, transport it, give it away. This act does not allow for the recreational growth in a commercial setting. That's supposed to come down, like, and the reason for this is they have to put together a bureau to regulate this. They don't have any way to regulate the commercial manufacture of recreational marijuana. So you're not going to see, you know, the stores and the gummy bears and lollipops or whatever. I guess maybe they're not even going to allow those types of things because they're attractive to children. And the whole point of this is you got a 21-year age gap on or age cap on this, and you're not supposed to be selling. When that comes down, you're not supposed to be selling stuff that's attractive to children, but, you know, what they call edibles or, you know, that sort of stuff to the general public.
So the first question, Rachel, is can I just go into a dispensary right now and buy cannabis?
No. If you want to buy cannabis right now, and I got to tell you, the dispensary, well, let me answer the question and then I'll go off on that. No, you need a medical marijuana card. They're not hard to get. There are doctors that are happy to prescribe them for you. And I kind of, there was a part of me that wanted to go off on, you know, why medical marijuana may be better for you than something like Norco or OxyContin, but that's really, that's a topic for another day. I'm really just sticking to the law here as much as possible. I'm not voicing opinions on whether it's good or bad. You can do your own research on that, have your own opinions about that. I'm just letting you know where you're going to get in trouble and where you're not, and where you're going to have to call a criminal lawyer and where you're not. So if you want a medical marijuana card, they're not particularly difficult to get, but you do have to go to a doctor, you have to get a prescription, and you need to go to a dispensary and run through the protocols, and they are very knowledgeable. They're very clean. It's very similar in some ways to a doctor's office. They're very safety conscious, so they'll have locked doors that you can't, you know, reinforced doors that you can't get into the
shop. It's kind of like a cross between a doctor's office and a banker.
Well, with a lot of man buns.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it. And that very strong odor of marijuana, because it does have that aroma. And as soon as you walk in.
I will tell you, though, the dispensary we represent is very much like a doctor's office.
The waiting room is, for sure.
And the waiting room is. And then it's...
And they're very knowledgeable about, you know, what your illness is. And they do have some really, really ill people. And they know their stuff. And if you have cancer, and you just can't eat, that will find one for you that will work for you and help you with your particular issues. And it's not just a bunch of people going in there to get high. It's really like these people have real issues, anxiety issues, cancer issues, pain, chronic pain issues. So they take it very, very seriously, but they also are aware of the criminal aspect. So they do have bulletproof glass, doors that are reinforced. They have dogs that'll patrol the premises when they're not there. So don't think that you're going to go down there and get a free for all.
It's not like the back of a tattoo parlor.
Well, I don't know what one of those is like. I've never been in one, so I can't say that, but I'm sure they're very clean, and I'm not making an opinion on that. But so the point is you can possess an ounce or less, but there's no way for you to sell it recreationally, legally. You can give it away, you can share, but you can't sell it recreationally.
So now that Proposition 64 has passed, we can't just go use it recreationally. You can't just walk
in.
Yes,
you can. You can use it. You can possess it. You can't transport it across state lines, except for some states. We'll get to that. But yes, you can possess it. Yes, you can use it recreationally. It's just how you get it is still kind of the waffly part, because you can get it from your medical dispensary. You can get it from a friend.
So
you
that's
can share.
Okay.
But you can't sell it commercially, or you're not supposed to be dealing it
until January
2018, and that's when they think they will have the Bureau and the regulations all put in place to make sure that the commercial growing operations, that from the seeds to the growing to the production to the sell to the consumer, all of that should be regulated by January 2018. So that's when you can expect that there will be recreational shops out there, and you can walk in just like you can in, you know, Ashland or Colorado, and you can walk into a shop, and it's like a bakery or I don't know any other shop, and they'll have tinctures and lotions and oils and, you know, baked goods, and I don't know what they call edibles. I'm not even sure what all they have, but they'll have stuff there for you.
So let's say,
and lots of different kinds of weed. I shouldn't even call it that. My client gets really cranky and says it's cannabis dispensary. That's what it is. And so, but there's a lot of different kinds for different whatever you want to have happen, I guess. Now, just so that you know, I'm talking law here. I don't smoke weed, and I never really have. So don't think that I'm a serious advocate for this. I'm just telling you what the law is.
Now,
there's my disclaimer for the day.
Okay. Let's say I want to...
I wanted to add also, sorry to interrupt, but in addition to being able to possess it and use marijuana recreationally, you are allowed 6 plants per residence. They haven't discussed really in depth how you're supposed to get the seeds, but I don't recommend Craigslist if you're thinking about that. Oftentimes that's a sting operation, but you're allowed 6 plants. You can grow 6 plants within your residence. Now, that's per residence, not per person, but per residence, and the police are not really going to look highly on outdoor grow operations, and if you are growing your 6 plants and you have in excess of an ounce, you're supposed to lock it up and keep it in a safe place away from children. And yes, there is a possibility of child endangerment if you have more than your allotted amount and it's laying around and kids have access to it, especially if there are firearms in the house. So if you have kids, be real careful with that stuff. Lock it up like you would in a gun safe or something, or a fireproof file cabinet or something like that. Don't just leave it laying around. And if you do have criminal tendencies, be real careful with it, because it can cause you some problems.
Let's say you're an entrepreneur and you want to actually open up a shop legally. What what is it that you have to do for this recreational stuff that's going to take place on January 1st, 2018?
Well, there's a whole, that's almost a whole show in and of itself of what you need to do. And we're not a business advising operation for the purposes of today's show. We can advise you. There are regulations that tell you how to, what the steps you need to go through and how you need to get that set up. So the first things you have to do, or you have to make sure that you're really well aware of what your county's laws are, because there are different laws within the counties. Be in touch with the supervisors, be in touch with the bureaus that are in place already, and they can answer questions. Do your research online, and now is a good time to start doing your research, because there's a lot that needs to happen before you can open a recreational shop. And you need to have the right permits, and there's only going to be allowed a certain number. And so
you're going to have a license.
You're going to have a license, and you're going to have permits for, and I'm sure that if you were going to do a shop, and this is a joke, people, but I think it's pretty funny, if you want to open a recreational cannabis shop in 2018, I recommend you find an address with the address 420 on it.
Oh, boy. How long did it take you to come up with that?
Oh, as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, my gosh, that's so funny. You can get an address with 420 on it. And anybody that has a sense of humor, for those of you that don't know, that's the number of the Senate bill that passed the legalization of medical marijuana back in the day. So that's why it's 420.
Well, also, doesn't it have to do with April 20th being something related to Pot Day or something?
I think it might be Earth Day, but really it's SB 420 was the bill that passed it. So that's where that came from. So
what else do we need to know about this?
Okay. Here's in the employment arena. Your employers can still say no weed at work. They can test you for it. You can still be terminated if they have a no cannabis in your system policy. So don't think you're free to just, smoke whatever
light
you
up
want.
At work, huh?
Yeah, no. And the THC stays in your system for a while. So if you're going through drug tests at work and you know you're not supposed to be taking it, don't do it, because you can still be fired for that. So there's nothing in the employment arena as of yet. Now, if you're a medical user and you have your medical cards all in place, then you may be able to get some sort of accommodation from your employer for your illness, depending on what your illness is, and have a doctor's note, and as long as it doesn't affect your job performance. I think probably if you have a driving job, they're not going to let you do it. If you have if you're an emergency room personnel, probably not. There are certain jobs where they probably will not allow it, but some jobs, you might be okay to have an accommodation for medical.
Now, today we're talking about cannabis law and the newly enacted proposition that passed by the voters. And Rachel is representing a dispensary here in Santa Rosa, and we are very knowledgeable as of today about cannabis law, at least Rachel is. And so if you want to give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
The Robert Dobby Show, weeknights 6 to 9 on 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
If you need legal help and don't know where to turn, call Charlie Cochran, that's me, or Rachel Erickson, that's my partner. At Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison, we are attorneys ahead of the curb. We represent clients in cases involving civil litigation, personal injury, and wrongful death. Insurance companies don't put you first. We put you first. Call us at 707-544-9006.
Tune in to Ask the Legal Experts, Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson, Mondays from noon to 12:30.
ABC News. When you're opening a new office location, but deadlines don't let up, you need to make sure your team can start working fast, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new conference tables, chairs, laptops, and whiteboards quickly. business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com. When your medical practice is growing fast and you have more patients than you have room for, you need to start, well, making some room. Which means, all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new exam tables and stools, x-ray machines, and microscopes quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here, live in the studio with my partner, Rachel Erickson. Every Monday, we come in here and talk about some legal topic. Today, we're talking about medical marijuana or cannabis law. The voters passed the proposition this last election that says that we are going to be able to use, recreationally use cannabis here in California. But as Rachel said, you can't just go out and start buying it right now unless you have a medical marijuana card. You have to wait until January 2018 because we have to gear up for the licensure process and we have to get the state commission in order and things like that. As a matter of fact, you're not going to even be able to possess a license to sell it to recreational users until January 2018. You can only be selling it right now to medical marijuana users. And those are people that are qualified because they've been to a doctor and got signed off for some medical purpose, like cancer or stress or some other legal or medical reason. So right now you are able to buy it with medical marijuana card. You're not able to buy it recreationally, not until January 2018. Now, Rachel, what about the some of the other employment issues that might be around this issue? Like, for example, Will I lose my professional license? I mean, let's say I'm a licensed real estate agent, or I'm a licensed attorney, or a licensed, well, any kind of licensure. Will I lose my job because my...
No, you're not going to lose your license. And they can't give you any civil penalties or disciplinary action just for using medical marijuana. It's like saying, oh, you're taking Norco, OxyContin, or something like that that's been prescribed to you, and they don't. First of all, remember, go back to the HIPAA laws, the privacy laws. Your medical records are private, so if it's a medical issue, they don't have access to it. So the answer really is just a flat out no, and that goes for anybody in an employment situation of any sort. If you're a medical user, unless there's some reason to breach that privacy law, nobody has access to your medical records unless you authorize it.
Rachel, can I ask you this? Can I take my medical marijuana on an airplane?
No. The answer is no. There are some airports that are a little more forgiving. Los Angeles is a little more forgiving. Oakland is a little more forgiving. And if you're a medical user, they probably will let you on. Now, the problem that you're going to have with traveling is you're going to have trouble with reciprocity laws. And different states deal with this in different ways. And we're talking medical here, not recreational, because all the states are not on board with the recreational. With the recreational stuff, you're not going to get those across state lines. They're going to have drug-sniffing dogs that'll find you pretty quickly. That's with the caveat of, I'm sure people manage to get there and do that, but you're not supposed to do that. California basically has no reciprocity laws. We don't allow people to come in here and use it, and we don't allow people to take it out. And usually you're going to want some residency here in California before you can use it here in California. Different states, as I said, use it have different rules. Arizona and Montana, they allow reciprocity. Maine allows out-of-state people to use it for 30 days. Rhode Island allows reciprocity, especially if it's a debilitating medical condition. And Michigan also has some reciprocity. Oregon does not include reciprocity, but the Court of Appeals has said that if you're a medical user, they're probably not going to give you a problem with it. You just have to register with the state and say that you're actually a medical user, and Oregon's not going to give you any problems with that. You cannot use marijuana recreationally or medically on any type of federal land. So if you're going to a federal park, you are not to be bringing your medical, not even medical there. That's still federal land. It's controlled by the feds, who still say marijuana, medical or recreational, is completely illegal. So, and as I said, if you have a California doctor's recommendation and you're from out of state, you can use medical marijuana here. But you do have to have a California doctor's recommendation, and most counties are going to want you to have residency, which is usually about a year. And then most dispensaries, or well, maybe not as much dispensaries, but the cooperatives for sure and collectives are going to require a California ID. So and we really, like I said, California does not have reciprocity, so you can't travel state lines and think you're going to have the same benefits there.
So this is a lot more complicated than just on its first blush. I mean, you know, voters, a lot of them just thought, yes, I want to vote for recreational marijuana.
Right. And a lot of people voted for it, I think, because the tax benefits, you know, we're supposed to be able to tax the marijuana, and that's supposed to, you know, be in the billions of dollars per year in revenue for the state of California. And I think we all know that we're in a sorry state financially, and the extra taxes can be used. So I think a lot of people really wanted to boost the tax base and boost, and just like we tax cigarettes, we tax alcohol, you know, they just said, well, people are using it anyway, why don't we just, you know, hone in and get some good tax benefits from it for the state, fix our roads. I don't know where the money would go. I don't know if it would go in the general fund. I didn't look up that detail, but it's supposed to generate just astronomical numbers in
taxes.
So
you need to know not only state law, but you need to know county law. And this is a lot more complicated than just, can I go buy pot?
Very much so. Very much so. And the what's really funny about this, I didn't bring it with me, but I ran across what is going to be, what's going to be the problem if you get busted, right? Okay, because, you know, what if you have more than an ounce and you get caught with it? What happens? Because we also, you know, passed the law that says if you're not a real bad criminal, we're not going to really put you in jail anymore. You know that one?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to give you a ticket.
Yeah. So I looked up what some of the fines were, just to kind of get an idea, because we all know if you use the commuter lane in on the freeway on 101 and you're not really a commuter, your fine is going to be either $271 or $341 or $371, depending on where you are. And how they figured that out is they figured that would be the number that would, you know, put a dent in the average American's pocket and therefore deter the behavior. So I looked up some of these fines, and I got to tell you what, if you want some entertainment sometime, just have a look at what the fines are and the penalties are. I think it's like if you have more than an ounce but less than, I don't know, let's just throw a number out there, let's say 3 ounces or, you know, 2 ounces or something, the fine is like $50. If you get caught using from, and you're from out of state and don't have a medical card and you're not a resident, you'll probably get a $100 fine. I mean, the fines are really, really low. They're mostly around the $100 mark. And sure, you don't want a $100 fine, but it's also, I mean, it's less than using the commuter lane. So it's kind of a joke almost. So I don't say go out there and smoke with impunity, but you might want to have a look at those. And if you are engaging in something that you might think is questionable, you might want to know what your penalties are.
What about housing?
I think that's really important, and we're running out of time, but I do want to put out there for renters and landlords alike, you have to be aware of this issue. That is partially by state, partially by county, but largely governed by the landlord. There's no law on the books yet that says absolutely renters can't use it or absolutely renters have the right to use it. There's no law on that. So landlords, if you're renting your place and you don't want weed grown in your house, because that's where it's mostly supposed to be grown, is inside the house,
put it in
outside,
the lease agreement.
We have to put a clause in the lease agreement that says, I don't want any growing, I don't want any use, medical, or actually, I don't know if you can discriminate on the medical. I'd have to look at that a little more closely, but you can't just say no recreational use, or you can say no recreational use and no growing on your property. So renters, if you have a lease agreement and you've signed that clause that says you're not going to use weed or grow it recreationally in that premises, you cannot do it, and you can be subject to eviction.
Okay. Well, we've been talking about cannabis law here on Monday from noon to 12:30, and we have generally a worksheet. We got an answer, a question and answer format. If you want to give us a call down at the office at 544-9006.
I also wanted to say that we've been having a lot of problems with our website lately. So we're in the process of trying to get that back up and running in a proper way. Right now, if you go to kcehlaw.com or californiaattorneysatlaw.com, which is where you'll find us, you're going to see mostly the San Francisco office highlighted. We're putting together a separate page for Sonoma County because we're so much less formal here. We're very community oriented. It's a smaller community. We know everybody. And so I just wanted to give you a shout out. Just know that our new website is up and coming, and I apologize that the one we have right now does not really reflect the face of Sonoma County, but our new one is on the way, and it will.
And you can give us a call at 544-9006, 544-9006. Or you can, like Rachel said, you will be able to visit our website. It's up and running, but it emphasizes the San Francisco office. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this has been Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.